The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Robin Portman. Robin is an executive vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton. Robin leads Booz Allen Hamilton's business development function, supporting the firm's major markets, defense, security, civilian, and commercial. And Booz Allen Hamilton is a leading management and technology and engineering services firm supporting customer agencies across the federal enterprise. And Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. It is great to be here with you again.
Well, I know one of the things that you love talking about is the federal market and how where things are, what's going on, and how Booz Allen Hamilton is responding to customer needs. But first, I think we're going to talk about corporate citizenship, supporting our veterans, something that I know, Robin, is near and dear to your heart and something that Booz Allen Hamilton focuses on with like a laser. So Robin, can you talk a little bit about Booz Allen Hamilton's important community initiatives, the things that you guys are working on?
Yes, and you're right. Corporate citizenship is in our DNA, Roger. We are just all about it, from Dr. Ralph Schrader, our CEO, throughout our firm, and it really is in our DNA. And as you know, we are celebrating this year our 100th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. For our centennial year, we announced a centennial community challenge where we encouraged all of our employees to perform collectively 100,000 hours of community service in the calendar year. And we actually had folks track that on our portal. And I'm happy to say that we reached that goal more than 2 months early. And we've now recorded more than 125,000 hours of community service. And we expect that to get higher by the end of the year. So we're really excited about that. Through the challenge, we've impacted more than 400 nonprofits this year. And as an indicator of our employee commitment, at least 6 employees have volunteered more than 1,000 hours this year, and more than 200 have volunteered 100 or more. So it's just amazing, and it's been a really great thing for the staff. And we also like to support the things that our employees support themselves. So we don't just write a corporate check to organizations. We actually financially support those organizations that our staff members are passionate and care about and what they want to volunteer for. So we combine that financial support, pro bono support, and volunteerism to put the full heart of the firm, you know, around our community support. So we've got some great highlights this year, and I'll just hit them real quick for you. You may have seen that Booz Allen was the corporate sponsor of the Degas-Cassatt exhibit at the National Gallery of Art this year.
A great exhibit.
Yeah, it was awesome. 350,000 visitors over the show's run, including 3 special tours for military families that we hosted for the USO, Operation Homefront, and TAPS. And additionally, you know, we're a proud sponsor of FIRST, and that stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And its mission is just to inspire young people to become science and technology leaders. And this is part of our big STEM thrust within the firm. So we support FIRST, for example, in hosting robotics competitions in locations worldwide and really, you know, get young people to build robots and work together to solve real world problems. It's a great, great program. And then, of course, as you know, Roger, we have continued our strong support for many health and veterans causes and organizations, and that is a very long list. Easter Seals, which has many programs for vets, the DVA, the Disabled Veterans Association, USO, Operation Homefront, TAPS, Given Hour, Business and Professional Women's Foundation, and most recently, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. And that's just to name a few. It's really a great, great group.
So Robin, when you're talking about that, and especially talking about the volunteer hours that Booz Allen employees have already contributed over the course of the year, it sort of strikes me, and you're a leader in the firm. It seems to me, it's a wonderful thing to do. It's important that we all contribute, I believe, to helping those less fortunate than ourselves, and supporting, you know, our society and our culture and that. But also, I think, isn't there there's a esprit de corps that develops, I would think, in an organization just around that, you know, the organization cares about others, that the employees identify with that. Is that what you've experienced?
Absolutely. And you have to be genuine about it, right? So our staff, you know, really care about this, and they see their leaders are absolutely genuine about it. And we're, you know, we're walking the walk. We're not just doing the talk. And so it's really exciting for them to see that. And we've seen it's also been an attrition issue. So in other words, staff enjoy working for a firm that thinks these types of community activities are important.
Right. So, and I know one, you mentioned that Booz Allen focuses often on, or in large part on those, you know, efforts that its employees, you know, really truly care about. I know one area that you are passionate about is supporting our veterans, and you are very personally involved in it. And I understand that you were recently recognized by Fortune as Booz Allen Hamilton was as one of the five Fortune 500 companies transforming the job market for veterans. You're the only government contractor, I think, on that list. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Roger, we are so proud of that recognition from Fortune Magazine and the distinction that it gives us. I mean, we're in line with companies such as Citi and Starbucks and Disney. It was just really awesome. And Booz Allen has continuously supported military clients, as you know, since our very first Navy contract in 1940, and that's 75 years ago. And as of the end of June, veteran employees represented well over a third of our staff. So, you know, and I think that it's real. You know, we have a culture that appreciates and needs the unique skills that veterans actually bring to the table. It's not just their functional and mission knowledge that benefits our clients, but we believe that vets bring leadership and a sense of loyalty and commitment to the mission and to each other and to our clients. And that is just a great chemistry that works well in our culture. And we also believe that we're being innovative in Booz Allen. Hiring is a great example. We go well beyond job fairs here. We use webinars and virtual panels in the evenings and on weekends to reach transitioning military folks at the times and via the methods that make sense to them in their busy lives. We host a LinkedIn group, and we use social media to create flexibility and to also help educate veterans as they look to transition to the civilian workforce, even if they're not coming directly to Booz Allen. And once a veteran's on board, we have robust and longstanding employee support groups. We have an Armed Services Forum, a military spouse forum, and these provide networking and other resources and sort of a sense of community to these employees across all of our offices worldwide. So, you know, basically in short, we're proud of that recognition by Fortune, and we believe we're leading by example and upping the game for veteran employment, which for us means a holistic approach that's driven by the experience and the passions of our own employees.
Right. And when you're looking at what you do for veterans, how do you prioritize or where do you focus your resources? You do a number of different things. And one thing I do want to talk about at some point is your mentoring program. But as you look across the things that you can do to support veterans as an organization, as a company, how do you prioritize those?
That's a great question. I get asked that a lot. And to start, we started with a group of senior leaders, partners, and vice presidents who are committed from across the firm, and we drive what we call the Veterans Agenda. And actually, Carl Salzano and myself were the founders, and we have now passed that torch on to Andrea and Sarah and Ron Kadish, to a senior vice president, executive vice president in our firm. And our mission was to provide ongoing support. You know, overall, that mission was to provide ongoing support to veterans and military families. And then, you know, first and foremost, we started by saying we want to leverage partnerships and work through other solid organizations, such as the ones that I've mentioned, in addition to organizations such as the U.S. Chamber, to accomplish our objectives and volunteer directly into our communities. And that allows us as a business to stay connected externally as well. So it's,
sure,
it's really great.
It's a win-win, which it should be.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah. And then we said, okay, we want to focus. And as a leadership team, we said, okay, what are we going to focus on? And the first thing was to obviously attract and retain veterans and military spouse staff as employees. And Mike kind of talked about our internal efforts there and how we go about that. And the next, we call it serve and support. So through our ongoing community partnerships that I just talked about, really encourage volunteerism and support through those relationships with, you know, USO, Operation Homefront, Easter Seals, and TAPS. And then finally, the third, you know, area was mentoring. We have a huge emphasis on this, as you just pointed to, and its importance. We believe mentoring is key to veteran employment. And again, we're talking not just internally, certainly internally for Booz Allen and through Booz Allen, but also supporting those that might not be necessarily employees of Booz Allen, but helping externally in general, helping vets and military spouses and caregivers to find employment through our own Wounded Warrior Mentoring Program that we have in D.C. here with Walter Reed, and also in San Antonio that Carl Salzano started, but also through our work with the Business and Professional Women's Foundation, or BPW.
Well, and that mentoring, you know, we've seen examples where individuals have gone on and, you know, established their own companies and you know, begun to compete in the federal marketplace. It and that has a ripple effect. You know, they hire veterans as well. It just compounds itself in the support of the veterans. So it's a great program.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know what, Robin, we have to take our first break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Robin Portman. Robin is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. And we'll turn a little bit to some of the individual things that Robin's doing with Easter Seals and the Advocacy Awards. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman. Robin is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton, and we've been talking about corporate citizenship, about veterans and supporting our veterans. And Robin, I know you and your team at Booz Allen Hamilton received Booz's most prestigious award, the Professional Excellence Award, for outstanding support services to the community. And I think that was focused on veterans' issues. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and actually, we have a number of veteran-related initiatives locally, and you know, personally, I'm spending my time and around those mentoring programs specifically, and I can talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And actually, I feel quite fortunate that I can apply my passion for veterans initiatives with my colleagues and through my work at Booz Allen, and the fact that it's highly encouraged. Again, as we talked about, you know, just from leadership on down, and I take great pride in supporting those veterans initiatives, even outside of my work life. Over the past year, I've focused a lot of my efforts, as we talked about, around Easter Seals and a few of their veterans initiatives. This year, I actually joined the board of directors and was a member of the Easter Seals Executive Planning Committee for their Advocacy Awards dinner this year, where we recognized General John and Ann Campbell, as well as Holly Petraeus, for their amazing contributions for service members and veterans issues. Additionally, I also, as I mentioned, support the Business and Professional Women's Foundation and their Joining Forces Mentoring Plus program. And Roger, this is another women veteran mentoring program that I've been actively involved in. And in fact, just last week, I moderated a panel at their Women Veterans Career Development Forum, which focused on women veteran employment. And by the way, the First Lady and the Secretary of the VA were there giving speeches as well. It was just a great event.
And I think the data, you know, indicates that women vets, you know, are having even greater challenges than men when they come home and transition to the civilian workforce, as I recall. Is that?
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely right. They have, you know, many unique challenges, some of which is perceptions that employers and outsiders have that, you know, there are only mostly male veterans, right. That male veterans have it tougher for one reason or another. But women veterans actually face a number of issues related to family and taking care of the family. And then there are also issues around caregivers as well.
Sure. And I, you know, Easter Seals, and that's really interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I learned over the last year from you is the extent to which Easter Seals supports our veterans. And I want, you know, and I think that's one of those sort of untold stories or a great positive story that I think needs to get out there to talk about what Easter Seals does and the infrastructure the organization has in place to support veterans. And as a board member, and you're chairing or leading this year's Advocacy Awards dinner, it's a great story.
Well, thank you. And we're very excited about this. And I agree with you. I know Easter Seals from the 60s for their commercials around the little
Absolutely.
Seal with the little lily on it. Yes. And of course, they're committed to helping populations of the disabled. But they have, over the last several years, really branched out to extend those services to veterans and wounded warriors. And I'll just hit a couple of highlights that I've become very familiar with. First is their Veteran Staffing Network. And this is just an awesome and innovative program nationwide, by the way, to launch veterans into meaningful careers and community reintegration through comprehensive job training and employment services. And they use this temp to perm model. It's a fee-based business model, and they partner with great companies to do this, like Citi and Marriott, and even some local companies here that are smaller, like Caliber and CPS. And they place vets into these organizations, and the fees for that placement go right back into funding counselors and support mechanisms for the vets to keep them successful in these placements. It's just great. They also have a Little Warriors program to ensure that children of wounded warriors, like those at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center right here in Bethesda, have a safe haven and educational opportunities. And they offer this, Roger, free of charge to those families who are literally displaced and living here as their loved ones recover in the hospital. And then, related to that, Easter Seals also provides support for families and caregivers by providing respite care days. And many volunteers come in to help give the caregivers a break by, for example, treating children to a fun day of activities while their parents receive a much needed break and maybe go out and have a date, or enabling caregivers to succeed at work knowing that their loved ones are being cared and well looked after, by the Easter Seals family. So these are just a couple of the highlights. They also have gotten involved nationwide in training for caregivers. Just some great programs for veterans.
Well, these kind of programs are priceless, right? But they also take, funding to support them. And one of the major funding efforts is the Advocacy Award Dinner, and you are heading that up this year. And so I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what is the Advocacy Awards Dinner and what's it look like for this year.
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Roger. The Advocacy Awards Dinner celebrates and recognizes individuals and organizations, by the way, who have been on the forefront of driving and championing causes for service members, for military families, and for veterans. And it really has, I gotta say, developed into the premier event, including military and senior government leaders, many industry leaders. So it's a great networking event for those of us involved, also on the industry side, who really care about veterans' issues. So yes, this year, Booz Allen, by the way, is going to be formally recognized for our efforts, along with Dr. Ralph Schrader, our CEO, who's going to be retiring after 40 years of Booz Allen. And I will tell you, Ralph himself has spent his career as a strong advocate for both veterans and disability initiatives. So we're very proud of this. We're also going to be recognizing the Honorable Elizabeth Dole for her commitment to advancing causes for military families. And by the way, I'll mention that too, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation is just doing some great things for caregivers, and that's a new emerging issue that's coming to the forefront. It's increasingly important, and we refer to, and the Dole Foundation refers to caregivers as our invisible heroes, and believe it or not, there are over 5 million of them in this country
right,
today. Some of our previous award recipients have included Hillary Clinton, Deborah Mullen, Tom Brokaw, Gary Sinise. I mentioned General Campbell, Ann Campbell, and Holly Petraeus. So this is an August group of awardees that we will be part of. And the theme this year is Our Heroes Among Us, which reflects something that my mom taught me, by the way, that all of us have the potential to be heroes in our own ways and in our own places. So I would be delighted.
The caregivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'd be delighted to hear from others who would like to get involved, and we'll give you information on how you can get more information on this advocacy awards dinner.
When is the dinner?
The dinner will be, and it's going to be here before we know it, May 13th, 2015. And this year we're at the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C.
Excellent. And can you go ahead and tell folks how they can get involved?
All right, great. The Easter Seals website has a great preview page on the event. So if you just Google Easter Seals and Advocacy Awards, you'll pull it right up.
That's what I did. So yep. I got right there very quickly. Yep, absolutely.
So I really encourage everyone, go to the site. There's more information on Easter Seals, the dinner, and how to be a sponsor or get involved with Easter Seals initiatives. It's just a great, great cause.
All right. So, Robin, I want to change a little bit and just get your perspective on something. And if you were going to give someone, because you've been consistently active in all these things and in many other areas as well, and supporting great causes. If you were going to give one piece of advice to someone who wanted to get involved in supporting veterans' causes, what would you tell them?
I would say, first of all, do it.
Okay. Well, that's important. Absolutely.
It is so personally rewarding, and you will meet so many amazing people, veterans, caregivers, families. But I think that to be, kind of give some real usable advice, hook in locally. There are just so many ways to dial your group or your organization or your company into local community organizations, some of which we've talked about here, some are national, but don't try to reinvent the wheel. Tap into some of these great organizations that we've been talking about and get involved with them to start, and it will just take off from there.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. I especially like that first day. Do it. Absolutely. Another question. I know you touched on this a little bit in the first segment, I think it's worth as we close this segment, sort of talking about again why it's so important to support our veterans and also why it's great business to mentor veterans, bring them into the workforce, hire them at your company. They bring special characteristics, capabilities to the table that from their life experiences.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, we talked about the leadership and the training, and some of these veterans are coming to the table with certifications and technical education, and all of that is great, but also their innate knowledge and understanding and loyalty to the client mission. And we find that makes them absolutely some of the best consultants and staff members that we've got. And as far as veteran-owned businesses, the same applies. There are some just great, agile, and mission-driven companies out there with whom we can partner and compete and just bring great value to our clients, and we love that.
Great. Robin, right now we do have to take our next break, but when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the federal marketplace, what's going on there, what you're seeing and what you anticipate in the future, and how Booz Allen Hamilton is responding. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman. Robin is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton, and Robin leads Booz Allen Hamilton's business development operations. And what does that look like at Booz Allen? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Roger. It's relatively new for Booz Allen, believe it or not, to have a more centralized and approach to business development. We grew up on the traditional consulting model where everyone sells, and we began to realize that as we move into more complex and interesting solutions for our clients, both nationwide, worldwide, we need to really be able to take a professional approach to how we actually go after those kinds of opportunities and those portfolios of business. So we have a more centralized but hybrid approach to business development now, and I was asked to stand this up 3 years ago. And corporately, we drive our external relationships and market sensing to help us maximize our relationships and teaming relationships with small businesses. But we also then are fully embedded into the business and into the account, so that our efforts in business development are very relevant to our clients, and we retain that, you know, external client focus. It also helps us focus on our growth platforms and growth agenda by looking at portfolios of business across the firm and not just in single accounts in a stovepipe fashion, while pursuing opportunities locally, directly in accounts with our clients. And this actually benefits our clients because they're seeing a lot of reuse and or technology and innovation exchange across that portfolio, and it's not just client specific. And we found that this helps us to be more efficient, frankly, as we all need to be in our pursuits. Teaming is a great example. It used to be very hard to find, if you were out there, a company trying to develop a relationship with Booz Allen,
sure,
it was hard for you to find a POC. And if you were a small business looking to team, it was difficult for you to understand how to plug in. And we believe we've made that easier now.
Yeah, it's a shared services model almost, right?
Absolutely.
For your internal operations, so that you can leverage knowledge you gain from some project over here doing for DHS, and how it may apply other places. And, you know, to your point, that it's a more efficient approach. And it's also, it seems to me, it would spark intellectual curiosity, you know, ideas, that exchange of information across sort of your operations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, another thing which you did mention is I think it helps create a better strategic framework for the company to execute upon. So I wanted to ask you if you could share what your priorities are for growth for the company over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And again, our organization works with directly with our CEO and all the major group leads across our business, as well as our corporate strategy group. And I tell you, I'm really energized by all that Booz Allen is doing as a company to create growth and opportunities as we move into our second century. And we have a few key growth areas, and we're investing heavily in these key areas moving forward while we maintain our key positions in, of course, our cornerstone government businesses. But specifically, I think the first thing that, and I've talked with you on this show about this before,
sure,
innovation, this is key. Innovation has always been core to Booz Allen's culture. And through investment in our new Strategic Innovation Group, or SIG, we're continuing that commitment to entrepreneurship and the art of the possible, driving innovation as a value throughout our entire organization. And the idea to deliver new and unique solutions that don't exist today in areas like predictive intelligence or next-gen analytics, rapid prototyping and platform integration. And this year, we have done some really cool and cutting-edge efforts, including a product called Vampire, which is a mobile forensics device. Tonight, by the way, we're doing a product show in partnership with 1776 right in Washington, D.C. So this is all very exciting, going well beyond our great consulting heritage to look at solutions and products and partnerships to deliver value to the client. So innovation is key. The next one is, of course, to continue to grow our commercial portfolio with a laser focus. And again, focus is important on energy, financial services, health and life sciences, and high-tech manufacturing. And here we're driving solutions that, quite frankly, are grounded in Booz Allen's decades of experience working on the federal government's toughest problems and challenges in things like cyber resilience, smarter risk management, compliance with complex regulations, advanced analytics and cyber technologies. And as you can imagine, we are very busy in this area these days. So yeah. Commercial. International. This one is huge for us. We have expanded our presence into the Middle East, North Africa, or MENA region, and we're growing our experienced senior leadership team there to offer both strategy consulting and digital expertise. We're focusing on strategy design, protecting infrastructure from cyber attacks, improving healthcare services, mission assurance, and areas like that, again, for successful modernization in the MENA region. And then finally, we will continue focusing on developing our engineering and systems delivery capability. You know, and Roger, you and I discussed this before. As you know, 2 years ago, we acquired the Defense Systems Engineering and Support Division of ARINC, which is now Booz Allen Engineering Services. So we'll continue our focus on advanced aviation, maritime engineering, advanced weapons modernization, advanced systems engineering and integration, C4ISR, with a real look at prototyping and specialized software development and analytics. So those are the big ones: innovation, commercial, international, engineering, and systems delivery. There are many other initiatives which I look forward to coming back on the show and discussing with you.
that would be my pleasure. You know, when you're looking at those areas, are there any ones where you see specific some barriers, or what type of barriers are out there in the market that folks have to think about when they're...
You know, as I think about that, barriers, I would actually say no barriers really, but more of a requirement for a corporate discipline to really make it happen. And that's what we have learned as a leadership team at Booz Allen. We've established, you know, a clear vision for all of this. We call it Vision 2020, and we communicate it to all of our staff. And our incoming CEO, for example, Horacio Rozanski, is embarking on a road trip to nearly all of our offices in 2 months.
Wow.
He's quite the road warrior. And he's really talking
to
staff.
He's got some frequent flyer miles.
Yeah,
right?
He's getting them, right. And really talking to all of our staff about this vision. And so I would say the keys here are to focus. So it's easy to lose focus, as you know, in a challenging market, but we're fighting hard to maintain that focus as a firm on these key growth areas. Another, you know, rather than call it a barrier, something to avoid, I would say, is getting stale. So getting stale with your capabilities, especially in this low-cost environment, mm-hmm. where it's easy to say, hey, we're not going to invest. Wrong thing to do. Maintaining investment on core capability building is key. And so my SIG example is how we're doing that. And then, you know, finally, the last thing is, you know, don't become irrelevant, right? Remaining relevant through, and I call it relentless client and market engagement. Otherwise, you become, you know, a hammer looking for a nail. And that is really the kiss of death.
Right. And it also sounds that like communication. I mean, I just say that generally. To the fact that the incoming CEO is going to go around and visit with all your folks to sort of lay out the vision and the plan, and you know, that aspect of any organization, communicating with the employees, you know, creating that shared mutual esprit de corps that we're all working towards the same goals is, I think, that's what I hear too.
Yeah, well. Absolutely. We have very, very smart staff, and they will buy into a vision that makes sense, but you have to communicate with them.
Right. And you meant one thing, you know, just if you have any other thoughts on, you mentioned the low-cost environment. To me, that's one of the biggest changes in the market over the last couple of years. Well, 4 or 5 years, you know, you especially see it in the federal sector.
It feels like 20.
Right? Yeah, it sure does. Are there any other, you know, trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, as I talk to our clients and to professionals out there in government acquisition, you know, the bottom line is our clients now need solutions that are effective, efficient, and agile enough to adapt to their changing requirements without costing a lot. So whether that's evolving technologies, new legislation, or agency mandates and best practices, and also, and consistent with what all businesses are experiencing, the government has to do more with less. That's what we're seeing. And, you know, I thought this would be, what comes to mind is we're seeing this across a number of initiatives, like DOD's emphasis on better buying power,
right.
3.0,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
really emphasizing the achievement of dominant capabilities, not through spending tons of money that we don't need to spend, but through technical excellence and innovation. Or one of our clients, Christopher Zember, who's the director of DOD's IACS, emphasizes, you know, anticipating new and emerging technology innovations, especially commercial integration or commercial technologies, and how do you know, integrate that into what DOD is trying to do, and how to incorporate them for better capability. So we must be cost competitive while maintaining excellent delivery and client service, as well as bringing innovation. And these are things that Booz Allen has built its reputation on.
Right. And it, you know, from the way you've gone and created the business development function of shared services. You're responding that too to make your operations more efficient, more effective across the board as well.
Absolutely. That gives you some economies of scale and enables us to get out there and find out what is going on in our client environments.
Right. And Robin, we have to take our last break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Robin Portman. She is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton, and we'll start to take laser focus on the government market and what's going on there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Robin Portman. Robin is Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton, responsible for the business development functions at Booz Allen Hamilton. And one of the things that is near and dear to my heart is the government marketplace. And I know Robin as well. And I know that's a major focus of Booz Allen Hamilton. So I wanted to focus this segment a little bit on the government sector and what's going on there. And what, from your perspective, what is Booz Allen focusing on in that part of your business?
So that's great, Roger. And I will tell you, some of the things I've already talked about are laser focused also in our government business. So I talked about our strategic innovation group and our focus on innovation, clearly right square into the government business, big area of focus, predictive analytics, next generation analytics, how to apply technologies for big data management and intelligence operations, for example, rapid prototyping and platform integration, what we call RPPI, again, because what we're seeing across DOD, not a healthy appetite for big investment in brand new platforms, but a continuing need to integrate new technologies right. And innovations into existing platforms. So
doing prototyping.
Absolutely. So these are These are lower cost ways of bringing innovation and technologies into our government clients. Cyber is, again, continued core focus and a real solid capability. I think we're the gold standard here. And we're actually taking a lot of those solutions in our cyberspace to our commercial partners as well. And we're calling it military-grade cyber. So we continue to focus there. Health, continued great focus there. We've had wonderful partnerships with our government clients and the Department of Veterans Affairs, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, IRS, as well as Military Health System. All these organizations are great clients of ours and again, continue to focus on that health arena. Engineering, as I mentioned, especially in the C4ISR arena and in the rapid prototyping area, which is, again, as you mentioned, certainly consistent with where DOD is focused, as we discussed. And then finally, systems delivery and solutions for places like the Department of Homeland Security, and with a continued focus on excellence and quality there with our ISO standards as well as our CMMI level certifications.
Right. And one of the aspects of the federal market, too, is, in meeting is capabilities to meet various customer needs across the board, and you guys have that, but you've also made some acquisitions recently. Can you talk a little bit about what those are?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you asked about this, because in the past 2 months, I mean, just recently, Booz Allen has acquired two companies, and I have to tell you that for acquisitions, we really do think long and hard about many factors such as client commitment, cultural fit, those kinds of things. They have to really be part of the DNA for Booz Allen, and I'm thrilled to say that I believe these most recent acquisitions are right in line. Our first acquisition was the purchase of the Boston, Massachusetts-based Epidemico Incorporated, and it's an informatics company that provides what I would call early warning, if you will, continuous monitoring and consumer engagement for various aspects of population health, including disease outbreaks, drug safety, supply chain vulnerabilities, and other things. It's a commercial spinoff of Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School and and MIT. So it's a team of epidemiologists and health leaders who use software platforms that just radically disrupt traditional detection and reporting and engagement. So, for example, one of Epidemico's commercial products, HealthMap, leads the field in digital disease detection and tracking over 200 infectious diseases worldwide in 15 different languages, believe it or not. They have a suite of cloud-based solutions and also serve as trusted resources for the public and government, life science, financial, and Fortune 500 companies, both in the U.S. and internationally. And you can bet that they've been really busy recently with things like Ebola. So we're very thrilled about that. Again, right in line with some of those growth platforms I talked about earlier. Our second acquisition was the Baltimore-based healthcare unit of Genova Technologies. And this one expands our strong support for the Department of Health and Human Services and our commitment to really continue to support the transformational efforts for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. Genova Health Team's technology really align with our strategy to expand our engineering and technology expertise that I just talked about. And again, helping us be agile to respond to the changing demands of government and commercial clients and as they seek more cost-effective, agile, and innovative solutions. So just from these two short descriptions, I hope you can kind of see how both of these acquisitions really demonstrate and reflect our commitment to continue to build.
Very complementary as well.
Yes, very complementary, right in line with what we want to do growth-wise.
Well, and one thing I also wanted to talk to you about is just the where we are in the federal market and the challenges. It's remained the sort of post sequester, but now we're going to have to deal with another budget cycle. It is a challenging time. We've talked and you've mentioned very accurately, the low cost environment. What do you see are the keys to success in the federal sector in the current environment?
So let's see here. I would name a couple of things come to mind quickly. Agility. I think we talked a little bit about that.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
being able to pivot quickly to meet user requirements and user demands, I think those big, huge, monolithic bureaucracy type organizations that find it difficult to react to client requirements in that way, I think are going by the wayside, a thing of the past. So being able to understand client requirements quickly and be agile in integrating them, I think, is one. I won't keep beating the innovation drum, but not just, here, I think it's important to say it's not just you having all the great ideas, but being able to get out there and have relationships with others that have great ideas. So
sure.
Booz Allen has established great partnerships with Amazon, Intel, and many other organizations like that because we understand how to drive them into the client environments because we have that intimate knowledge of the mission. So innovation, but not just great ideas, understanding how they actually can be parlayed into having impact into client environments. And I have to mention people. You really have to focus as an organization to keeping your talent in your organization. And we talked about our community service and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that make the intangibles that make working for Booz Allen attractive. And I'm going to mention again, relentless client engagement. You got to listen to your clients and have the knowledge to understand them and their requirements and their missions and getting to the solutions that they can afford. You're right. It's a low cost environment, but I've had interesting conversations with acquisition folks who tell me, we put out an RFP for a pitching machine that pitches 30 feet and we get back proposals for a pitching machine that pitches 40 feet. And we don't understand why we need a 40-foot pitching machine, and you don't tell us why we should be paying extra for that. And that's great, common sense advice, and I think we all have to think about that.
Right. Well, that's good. Now let's turn it to, give you a chance to talk about bright spots in the acquisition environment today. Do you have any?
absolutely. I've seen some dynamic changing paradigms in federal acquisition. Earlier this year, I read an article where Thomas Sharp, Commissioner of GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, indicated that the agency plans to increase its market share from 14 to 33% by the end of the fiscal year 2016. And I think that was in May, I read that. We also know that many legacy contracts are either being consolidated or canceled. to create efficiencies and simplify the acquisition environment, as we saw with OPM TMA, for example, right?
Sure, yep.
I really believe the use of government-wide contract vehicles like OASIS, Alliant, OASIS Small Business, Alliant Small Business, this is helping to drive efficiencies and cost savings by reducing excess costs, both on the government side, by the way, and on our side, industry side, associated with award and administration of all these multiple IDIQ or standalone contracts. And, you know, specifically, OASIS consolidates the scope of multiple schedules and GSA vehicles, creating more or less a one-stop shop for professional services. And it really simplifies things through decentralized ordering, which, you know, quite frankly, also allows the client's contracting staff to maintain control of the ordering process. So I believe that this is a very user-friendly choice for clients across the federal space. And Roger, I will tell you, we loved the whole proposal and award process. It was very transparent, it was formulaic, and it was cost effective for us.
Right. Well, yeah, the OASIS team actually got a Mythbusters Award from the Coalition for Government Procurement for their efforts on OASIS. And it was, you described why right there, in terms of the openness, the transparency, and the engagement. And an effective and efficient model for the evaluation and submission of proposals.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were speaking something near and dear to my heart, is contract duplication. I think, you know, that's an area where there's a lot of opportunity for the federal government to save money for its internal operations, but also for the companies who are competing in the federal market through use of interagency contracts like OASIS or Alliant or the GSA schedules. And it's an area where I think there's a lot of untapped savings.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Another sort of area, and you've touched on it when you mentioned the two companies that you acquired that focus on health. You talked a little bit about it earlier, and I know that's an area where you spent many years focusing on the government healthcare market. I wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, talk a little bit about, we've got about a minute left, just, you know, what you're seeing in that area with the VA, the creation of the Defense Health Agency, and of course HHS and CMS.
Well, first, this continues to be on the government side a very vibrant and great market. They're open for innovation and growth, and it's, by the way, right in our wheelhouse. Each of the markets you mentioned are just really looking for continued innovation and transformation, whether it's the VA looking for new solutions for their scheduling challenges, or their approach to veteran outreach, or their use of mobile technologies to improve care. Great opportunities for the VA to partner with industry there. You mentioned the Defense Health Agency, as they strive to improve efficiency and quality while streamlining some of their common infrastructure and shared services, or Health and Human Services. They continue to roll out ACA, certain commonalities that we see amongst all these things. They need to leverage technology and innovation, such as mobile apps or ensuring patient quality and transparency, driving efficiencies to improve and streamline processes, leveraging data, we talked earlier, to make better decisions, leveraging care guidelines and improving patient quality. And, you know, in industry and specifically Booz Allen, this is great for us, as those of us bringing new ideas and innovations to the table, we are increasingly being asked to come to the table with these new ideas, but also, as I mentioned earlier, show how they're going to make an impact. How are they going to be relevant to these clients?
Right. How are they going to, you know, get the mission done and save money, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Robin, we got to end the show, but I want to mention once more the Advocacy Awards Dinner, the Easter Seals, that supports veterans across the nation. It's a great event. It's a great fundraising effort. They do wonderful things to support our veterans with the Veteran Staffing Network and the Little Warriors Network as well, efforts there. You can Google Easter Seals and Advocacy Awards and find all you want about that event and how you can participate and contribute. And I want to thank my guest today, Robin Portman. She's Executive Vice President for Booz Allen Hamilton. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.